Ghost. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. O come, let us worship the Lord. We now continue with the introit as printed on your bulletin insert. It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
To sing praises to your name, O Most High.
The righteous flourish like a palm tree.
And grow like cedar in Lebanon.
They are planted in the house of the Lord. They still bear fruit in old age.
They are ever full of sap and green.
To declare that the Lord is upright.
He is my rock, and there is no righteousness.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I will myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest, and all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated as we sing the hymn of the day.
Brothers and sisters of Zion Lutheran Church, may the words of my mouth
and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in his sight, the Almighty God. Let us pray. Father of all goodness, cause our faith to grow strong and deep in the promises of Christ's salvation, that we may find comfort and rest through the Holy Spirit. We pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, everlasting. Amen. The kingdom of God. What is this? We hear it said often. It's a phrase that's synonymous with another phrase that's found in the Bible, and it is also very familiar, the kingdom of heaven. So what is it? What is the kingdom of God? Well, St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, states that the kingdom of God is not talk, but power. The power of which Paul speaks, though, is the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We get a more clear picture from Martin Luther. In the Small Catechism, Luther's explanation of the Lord's Prayer, we find our answer. The petition, "Thy kingdom come," Luther explains it in this way. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. So now that we can say that the kingdom of God is directly tied to the Spirit with any and all actions undertaken by the Spirit. His actions call us out of sin and darkness and lead us to salvation and newness of life. Anything that is of the Spirit is part of the kingdom of God. Faith, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, mercy, wisdom, and all understanding. This is the fruit of the Spirit. The full grain of the plant that is planted within us, it is part of the kingdom of God. In today's reading, we are again confronted with the phrase kingdom of God. We've begun to scratch the surface of what the kingdom of God is. If we pull back the cover a little, we see that it contains two very important components. Broadly speaking, the kingdom of God is everything. It consists of all things. For everything created, both visible and invisible, is God's. The earth is his, and all the fullness thereof, as we read in the Psalms. Also, his invisible attributes have been clearly seen, as St. Paul has proclaimed to the Christians in Rome. However, there are two very important components to his very vast kingdom. First is you, dear Christians. You and the Church Universal are part of the kingdom of God. You are the physical, visible part of the kingdom of God. Second are the sacraments. These divine acts were instituted by Christ himself when he was here, proclaiming this very same kingdom through repentance of sin. One thing underpins all these things, though. Something that may seem as small as a mustard seed to some people. It is the Word of God. We cannot have the sacraments or the church without it. The Word of God is the sturdy base of both, and we can see in today's reading that it is the focus of today's reading. Let us read it again. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, And the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Today we can liken ourselves to the earth within this parable. For dust we are, and to dust we shall return. But to begin, and to prepare a field, which I'm sure many of you know how to prepare a field, one must get rid of all obstructions within that field first. Rocks and boulders must be lifted up and taken out. Trees or stumps must be removed. Proper drainage must be put in, or the seeds will rot and die in the ground. Now, does the earth do any of this? No. The earth is passive. The sower does this. And then comes the time for planting, which the sower does as well. The seed that the sower, the Holy Spirit, plants into us, that he sows into our souls, is the faith and trust in God's promises of salvation and life through Christ. The plant that grows then is our faith. This faith sprouts with no knowledge from us, and no action on our part can make it grow more. As the earth is passive in the reception of this, we too are passive recipients of the faith and trust in God's word and God's promises of salvation through Christ. We do nothing to cause it to grow. We do nothing to cause it to put forth fruit within our lives. And the Son is like the Word of God. It is constantly there providing us with growth in our faith. The rain is as the sacraments. They, with the Word of God, because you cannot have one without the other, cause the roots of our faith to grow deep within us. These roots hold firm, protecting us from driving winds and from choking weeds. And we know that weeds will come into our lives, the cares and concerns of this world, for we are part of this world, though we are not of it. But the sower does not abandon the plant. He does not abandon our faith. For the end goal of this plant, of the faith, is the harvest of the ripened grain. Because of this, the sower is constantly tending to the plant, caring for it night and day. He pulls out the weeds that would choke the roots and casts them aside to be scorched by the sun. When the plant begins to droop, when it becomes weary, he props it upright with a wooden stake. This wooden stake is the cross of Christ. Our faith leans on and rests against that rugged cross. In all of this, the preparation, the planting, the growth, the nurturing and the care, the earth does none of it. It is passive. It can do nothing but receive from the sower. And in the second parable, much in the same way, we can liken ourselves to the birds in that parable. Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nest in its shade." This plant is not to be confused with the first plant in the first parable. The first plant, as explained, is our faith in the promises of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. This plant, though, represents the church universal, the physical, visible church, and the whole family of God. It also grows on its own, with no help from the birds. They do not sow the seeds. They do not harvest its grain. All the birds do is come and build their nest in it. We are those birds. And this bush is that mansion, that heavenly home that Christ has promised to prepare for us. It was grown for our sake. Jesus is the sower here. When he took our sins and put them to death with him on the cross, this seed of the kingdom of God was sown for our sake. This momentous event seems minuscule to unbelievers, to those who are outside of the faith. To them, it might as well be a grain of mustard seed. It's unimportant. Christ's death on the cross is meaningless. They see it as just the actions of a good man. And in this aspect, they are right. For there is nothing good outside of God, and nothing can come from God but goodness. To them, this tiny seed, Christ's crucifixion, this moment in time, is a stumbling block, and it is foolishness for them. However, it is by Christ's body and blood, his sacrifice in our place, and their place as well, that this bush grows. And in this bush, in its many branches, we build our nests. In it, we have shelter. We have shelter from the sun's blistering heat, our sins that would cause us to die. We have shelter from the blustering winds, which would drive us off course, away from God. We have shelter from the rainy days of life, which would sink us into deep despair. For this plant, this bush, serves as our resting place. It is our home. From it, Christ calls us, as Moses was called from a bush as well. He calls us to take upon ourselves his easy yoke and his light burden. It is our home. We raise our young ones in it. In these branches, the kingdom of God, we sing for joy in the morning, the glories of our God. We lie down and sleep in peace here in this kingdom because we know that none can take us from it. In the kingdom of God, there is love, there is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and mercy. The fruit of the Spirit is abundant in the kingdom of God, for Christ reigns as the King there. And because faith has taken deep root within us, and we have shown the fruit of the Spirit of God, we are able to fly from here and sing for joy the greatness of God, inviting all others that are weary with flight, that have no song in their hearts to sing to God. For this bush, this kingdom, the kingdom of God, can never be too full, and all are welcome in its branches. Amen. Now may the God of all mercy, love, and peace give us everlasting faith and immeasurable rest in his kingdom with the Son and the Holy Spirit unto life everlasting. Amen.
singing the Te Deum. Please rise. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Most High, we give thanks to you that you have planted your holy word among us. Give healthy growth to your church, that she may weather the storm winds of this world, steadfast in Christ, ever bearing the fruits of love and singing praises to your name. Lord God, your Holy Spirit plants your word and causes it to sprout and grow as it pleases you. Bless the preaching and teaching of your word, that your kingdom may be extended, and give us thankful hearts to marvel at your work. Send faithful laborers into your fields to scatter your seed here and abroad, that in due time a harvest may be reaped for your glory. O Lord, the great I Am, what you have spoken, you will surely do. We implore you for the sake of Christ and your many precious promises to bless and defend our homes, to make the efforts of parents fruitful in the teaching of their children, and to preserve them in the saving faith of Jesus. Father, we are bold to ask for all things because you have given us your Spirit as a guarantee. Hear us as we intercede in Jesus' name for those in every need, especially Marvin Grody, Pat Post, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Michelle Hill, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, Leah Spangler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Ryan Fiesel, Charlotte Davis, Maya Cullough, Wanda Schweier, Waylon Steiner, Kenny Miller, Patricia Lee, Jeff Secor, and Nikki Strait. O God, we groan under many burdens in this earthly tent and long to be clothed with your eternal life, which will swallow up all mortal sorrow. Give courage to your servants to walk by faith and not sight, to mourn our dead in the hope of the resurrection, and to make it our aim to please you while here in the body, until at last we are at home with Christ. Lord of the Church, as this congregation is in a time of pastoral vacancy, by your grace, continually feed Zion with your word, which is able to sustain them into salvation. Holy Spirit, grant discernment to Zion's call committee. Guide them by your word as they seek out the next man to feed them with your word and blessed sacraments. O God, guard the call committee and all members of Zion from the crafts and assaults of the devil. Assure them of their identity in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you have established the family for your glory and the furthering of your kingdom. Grant strong faith to the families of Zion, that they would hold fast to your promises, and that you will soon send to them a pastor. Gracious Lord, look with favor upon your dear saints here at Zion. Grant them patience, zeal, and strong faith in you. O Lord Jesus Christ, you are the wisdom sent from your Father and our Father. Grant to all of us godly wisdom, that we would look to you as an example and avoid pride, arrogance, and impatience. Holy Father, from Israel you have taken a tender sprig, your chosen Messiah, Jesus, and planted him on the mountain for our salvation. By his death on a tree, you have reversed the curse of sin and brought life again to dry, dusty souls. Do not let us despise your Christ, his humility, or his suffering, but bring us with all your Christians into the shade of his eternal rest. To the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. be seated. As far as announcements, we have that the call committee will meet tomorrow, Monday, at 6 p.m. Reminder on that. The rest of the announcements will be in the bulletin. And I was also gently reprimanded for not giving my own announcements last week. If you've taken a look at my wife recently, she is no longer pregnant. The baby is here. We have Isaac Scott Smith, born two Sundays ago at 3:29 in the morning, 7 pounds, 13 ounces. So if you want to see him, he's here. All right. Thank you, and have a good week.